Daniel said, I saw in my vision by night, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The saints of the Most High also shall take the kingdom and possess it for ever and ever. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, but they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. From the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. When much people were gathered together, Jesus spake unto them by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the adversary, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should understand and be saved. They on the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they who, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. From the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Well, hello again, friends. Today, this will be the last one of these I do for a while, because I've now been doing it for a whole year, in the sense that I've gone from the beginning of Advent all the way through to the following Advent. So next week will be Advent, and people's Christmas trees, I suppose, will go up, and all of those sorts of things, and people will be getting ready for the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Christ child. So we'll see what happens. I may do something else that's a bit similar on another medium, but this will be it for a while, and I may come back again, but it'll probably be in a different form. I'll do things in a different way. So I'm going to go across now to a recording that I made on Sunday just gone, so yesterday, and that will be what forms the rest of this little podcast. And I hope it's of benefit to those of you who get to hear it. So with that said, let us go forward to the talk I did yesterday. So here we are, next to last Sunday in... No, the last Sunday in the year, in fact. Yep. Next Sunday before Advent. And our intent is dispelling of ignorance, so we should look at the Gospel. It's talking about the teaching, I think. Jesus is illustrating how to teach and the limitation of the teaching. Teaching is, after all, a big part of the Gospel mission, the creation of teachers who will spread the teaching. And getting to our intent for this week, which is dispelling of ignorance, it is as though Jesus is saying to us, this is how you teach, this is how you begin to dispel ignorance for most people you're going to connect with. So part of the Gospel reading is about those who hear the good news, but part of it is an illustration of the methodology of the teaching. That is to say, with the use of extended metaphor and allegory, which in Greek was called parabole, from which we get our word parable. Such a parable is regularly used to impart meanings to a whole person while avoiding the limitations of the conscious mind. So when Jesus speaks of the sower, it is with the deliberate intent of going around potential misconceptions and ignorantly established conclusions in order to plant his own seeds, just as this parable itself is a seed. In Luke, the seed is assumed to be the Word of God. But what is that? What is the Word of God? Some rabbis would say Torah. And to some extent, they mean the Pentateuch, but they also mean the rest of the writings on Torah, like the rest of Tanakh and even the Talmud. And they even also mean the so-called unwritten Torah. What else is the Word of God? That's just some rabbis' opinions, after all. Isn't it, as we hear in John, another name for the Christ? And isn't it also God's action of creation? So if the Word of God is the Christ, what is that? John calls the Word of God the light and life of men. So John is basically saying the Word of God is the true consciousness of men. Light is here at the very least a metaphor for mind, light being necessary for perception in biblical language. That metaphor stands. And life is itself consciousness across time, what we know to be life. All living beings are to some extent conscious, and we know they are conscious because they are responsive, responsiveness being the hallmark of consciousness. But the Word of God is specifically the consciousness of men, which is quite different. So the seed, in this case, is really the teaching about that Word of God, which you could call the Word of God itself. But let's look at the rest of the parable of the sower, because as well as illustrating the method for teaching, the parable is also illustrating in part the nature of that teaching in relation to the world, in relation to the people who are to receive it. So the four categories of ground: the wayside, or a ground meant for traffic, rocky ground, thorny ground, and good ground. What is ground? Is it a metaphor for the hearts of the people receiving the word? Or could it perhaps be more general, the general environment where the hearer listens? Perhaps it is a state of being. Ground meant for traffic represents the state distracted by worldly matters. And so those matters snatch the teaching away and it is lost. And this can really be any kind of distraction, because one suspects there are many sincere people who profess an interest in the teaching, but who are unable to take it in due to their worldly mindset, perhaps leading to too simplistic an interpretation of the teaching, with far too much certainty for the requisite inner humility to be present. Think about the people who trust the science, or say the science is settled.
or who believe they know what consciousness is without any appeal to a world beyond the material, and yet who completely fail to generate consciousness, despite, quote, knowing what it is. Think about what people who call religion a mind virus, without actually understanding what religion actually is, or acknowledgement of even its lowest purpose, which is to provide the cultural underpinning of everything in society so that a society can remain coherent over long periods of time. Think of the people who are too busy either in their lives or just in their minds to consider things carefully enough to be logical in their conclusions, or indeed too busy to become peaceful enough to receive the teaching. Sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? Then there is the rocky ground, the hard ground, which is said to allow no proper root for the young plant and apparently no moisture in Luke. Such an environment or such an attitude, what we might call a way of listening or just a listening, implies a heart for whom the teaching is only for the good times and turns away when things get hard, as they inevitably do. If we think of such a listening environment, it is one where personal loss or difficulty weakens interest in the teaching. Such a listening does not realize that the teaching is for precisely that moment, because they seek it only as a means to another end. For the listening implied by rocky ground seeks status and power, among other things, from their association with the teaching. And the status and power dries up, as it does. They are nowhere to be found. Sometimes these people imply that they have special powers or special knowledge, which comes from a source accessible only to them. Sometimes they really do have special powers, but misuse them due to misunderstandings they've reached because their hearts are too hard, too rocky. The thorny ground, whose thorns choke the new plant before it can bear fruit, is somewhat similar. What are thorns? There are many kinds. One of the most prevalent kinds of thorns is false teachings, which grow up around the true teachings and mostly work by changing the meanings of words. This is an extremely important understanding to develop. What do words truly mean? Many, many, many false teachings are formed through false meanings of words. A great example is the word monogenes, which is often misunderstood and misinterpreted to mean only begotten, as in having a single offspring. It does not mean this. It means alone born, born of a single parent, as we can see in every example of its use in the classical literature. But unfortunately, this is only one of a great many apparently deliberate misinterpretations of the words used to encode the teaching. Everything from terms like the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, or Father in Heaven, to words like resurrection, living, dead, and even agape. To get around this problem, parables have been used. But also special emphasis on correct understanding of the meanings of words was taught in the inner Christian groups. When you have enough inner experience, you can begin to discern for yourself the twisting of meanings by the later redactors and transmogrifiers of the teaching, and it is very twisted, very wicked, because they effectively turned a teaching of freedom into a teaching of slavery, justifying hundreds of years of serfdom, slavery, and inequality, which despite all our efforts to turn around, keeps raising its ugly head to this day. Most notably today, in the form of the World Economic Forum, and recently both corrupted institutions, trade unions, government departments and agencies, and especially a lot of United Nations organizations, which used to do good, but now do evil. So some thorns are the lies promulgated about the teaching, which choke and kill the budding teaching in the would-be disciple. But there are also thorns in the form of the fruits of the application of the teaching turned to selfish purposes. The effect of partial understanding of the teaching distorted by the tendencies of our so-called lower nature. I say so-called because this is often misunderstood as being lesser or worse nature when it is not. It is a nature that must be harmonized with the higher nature by use of attention. Thorny ground is where selfish desire exerts too much power and influence, as illustrated by the Master when he speaks of cares and riches of the world. And so the teaching can be lost in the fulfillment of such desires, especially through misconstruing such cares and riches for the final fruits of the teaching. These are not the fruits, nice as such fulfillment may be. So that's all the bad grounds. What is the good ground? Good ground is empty for sowing, is it not? Good ground is an empty bowl ready to be filled, neutral, without strain, without prejudice, without variance left or right. Good ground is the limpid pool in whom the sinking stone leaves no trace. Good ground is open and aware, intuitive or counterintuitive, ready for his coming. Good ground is knowledge of the spiritual mind and knowledge that one is either the lower nature of one's true self or at best but a child in the kingdom of heaven. Good ground is ready for the tests, the trials, the new beginnings. None of us can say we exclusively dwell as good ground for the sower. Most of us, most of the time, are one of the other grounds of being, which is a little sad, because then some of the teaching is lost to us for a time. But it won't be always. We can learn. And we will learn, step by step, and more, to be good ground. What must we learn? How to come into harmony with our greater and higher nature? The fiery stream of the glory of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Because to be good ground is to be without contention, blessing both the good and the evil. To take the role of the female in a world where everyone is trying to take the role of the male. A world indeed where people deny there is a role of the female and the male. But the one who stands, to him, we are all female. In the sense of being receptive, in the sense of being soft, supple, protected. Dare we to be faithful, hopeful, patient, submissive, peaceable, all qualities of the Holy Spirit, all feminine qualities. While we may not be any of these things with each other, we are always with him, necessarily, for he is the one in whom our life resides, whether we acknowledge it or not. And we must learn to embody and express these feminine virtues with each other if we are to have any hope of manifesting ourselves in the kingdom. And are we not also virgin, having untapped potency? So, given things as they are, the world difficult as it is, can we build the third temple within? Can we turn around again and again, like the salmon of wisdom roasted over flames to bring forth knowledge and joy, hilaritas of God's incarnate? Because the teaching exists for precisely these difficult times, not so much to comfort as to provide opportunity to grow into a great soul. In this hard world, can we build Michael's City of Peace, New Jerusalem, within ourselves, so that no evil dart can find purchase within us? Can we make ourselves empty, released, sunk down to lowliness? From the deepest or purest female comes the perfect or true male. This is the meaning of all these stories. From Mary comes Jesus, from the Lady of the Lake Arthur, from Isis Horus, from empty space the uncreated radiance of limitless light. From the deep pool, the tallest tree, from the Holy Sophia, the Christ child. If we find a way to sink everything down, we can spring up high as one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds to stand before the great throne with the holy ones and all the stars in the bright firmament. For we are the living stones rejected by the builder. And this is the secret, keeping the stars apart. For when we begin to learn to make space in our hearts, we begin to be able to carry the whole world and hold it without breaking anything. Thanks for your attention. Thank you for listening, guys. And now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, three persons in one God, be ascribed all honor, might, majesty, power, and dominion now and forevermore.
Amen.
Yeah.